Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to Call Me Candid. I am Lily.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Ryan.
And I'm Devin.
And we have some special guests this week. I literally just like threw the mic at his face for him to talk. But do you want to tell them why they're here? Like what we're doing?
Sure. So we already had them on the first time we ever did a YouTube video. That was our first ever podcast guests, I guess, yeah. And YouTube video. So we brought them back on because we've discovered more of our differences lately and how Devin and I react similarly and then Lily and Ryan react the similar ways. I'm not talking correctly at all.
Oh, I was just gonna make fun of you and say the similarly.
Well, anyways, we just thought it'd be interesting to dive deeper into some examples of what we mean by that and how we work this relationship thing out, because we're very different in some ways, but it works for the better.
Can I just say, I saw a comment on our Q&A with Ryan Yarrow, and someone was saying, you know, it's actually a really good thing that Haley and Yarrow are the same, because they say your soulmate should be the female equivalent of your best friend.
Aww.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
That's so cute.
Aww.
That's a good comment. I love that.
True. You guys should definitely watch the YouTube video for this one because it's kind of hilarious. We're all just sitting on a couch passing the mic around. We don't have budget on this yet.
Devin and I are going to be bruised by the end of this.
Just I know. Because you have to like talk into the mic for these ones. So guys, we literally have to like thrust the mic at their feet. Odd word choice, but that's what I'm doing. But do you want to kind of talk about highs and lows, or just like how you're feeling this week? So I feel like that'd be fun.
Sure.
And cute.
This couple over here will take it off with the lows, right?
That's all we have. Yeah. Just
and
lows
we got the highs.
Okay. So last week I got an MRI and it was a little bit of a story time. I told the story on my Instagram story, but I never talked about it on the podcast. So basically, I went to a back doctor and he recommended I get an MRI because he has an idea of what it could be, but in order to find out, I had to get an MRI. So I go, and obviously, I've never had an MRI, so I'm just thinking about what I saw in the movies, you know? And in the movies, the machine, it's scary, it's loud, but there's so much room. It's not like you're in this tight little sausage packaging. And so when I actually went, I realized that you have to be in there for 25 minutes, which
that
I thought
shocked me.
I thought it was like a 2-minute process or something. And it's the tube that you're inserted into is so small that you can't even bend your knee without it touching the ceiling. So that's a little bit overwhelming to learn that all right before you go into this plastic tube. And so I go in and they're like, okay, here's this little button. And if there's an emergency, you need to come out, just press it. And I knew, like, before going in there, I was probably going to freak out. And they slide me in head first, which I feel like is not great for me. And I start squeezing the button so many times and they let me out. And they're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Because they have to go to another room, too. So you're just in there alone. And I start crying in front of these two grown men. And he was like, yeah, we knew you were claustrophobic the second you went in there because there's cameras where they can see you. And they flipped me around so that my head was like closer to the door. So that helped a little bit. And they tried to do most of the MRI to where my head was sticking out of the tube, which helped a little bit, but I still had to like go in sometimes. But I got through it and I will get the results today.
Yeah. I'm so sad I couldn't be there. That's a bummer.
That's the other thing too, is no one was allowed to come with me. And the guy stayed in the room with me for like 2 minutes whenever I went back in, and that helped a lot. So I feel like if Ryan was able to be there, it would have been a lot better. But
I'm that way with anything doctor related. I want him to come. Like I had to go to the doctors recently and like Devin couldn't come, and I get anxious. That would definitely make me anxious, like an MRI. But even just going to like I don't know, doctor's office or anything, I get nervous. Like I know he's had an MRI before, so when what was like, were you scared in yours?
I do remember, like, it was very claustrophobic, but mine was not nearly that long. I don't remember.
Yeah. So maybe the back is longer?
It was a long time ago, so maybe I'm just forgetting something. But
the technology has gotten worse since then. Let's see. My high. I'm going to do a high, okay?
Okay.
So recently, Haley and I, big life updates. I'm sure you guys heard in the last podcast, but I feel like we're just doing a lot of new things right now and, like, starting a new business and just working on a lot of cool projects. And I feel like this is the time that Haley told me this yesterday. It was like a great revelation, but she was like, this is honestly like the most exciting time, like the journey. It's not actually even launch day can be really exciting, but just the moment where you can't really tell anyone about it and you're just like working on this exciting new thing and the sky's the limit, it's just like such a euphoric time. And so I'm just trying to soak it up and just really enjoy it. And it's been a fun past couple weeks.
Okay, so do you want to say a high or low? Like, what's the vibe?
I would say just a high. I think we have a lot of new like business opportunities coming up for us, but I can't really think of many lows.
I think one of my lows, and maybe one of yours too, I can't speak for you, but recently I feel like I have not been reading my Bible as much and like feeling as close to God. Like, I don't know, I felt like I haven't made him a priority. Like, I've gotten so wrapped up in just like business and everything, which isn't good. Like, that's not a good thing. So I've been making sure, and you have too, to like read our Bibles and stuff, like morning and night I'm trying to. And like, I've been watching Sadie Robertson at night. I just look up because I really love her. Like, I think she's awesome, and the fact that she's like so young, I'm inspired by her. So I've been looking her up on YouTube and just like watching her speak at Passion or just like little things, and it's just been making me really happy. So I know that's probably one for you as well.
Yeah, it's definitely been good, like, to get back on track with reading our Bibles and, like, just getting closer to God, because we've definitely been more distracted, like, ever since we moved and just getting back into business and stuff. Yeah.
Yep. I know. I feel like we had that goal to read our Bibles together morning and night, too, and I feel like the issue is our sleep schedule is always different, and so it's hard to do that when you wake up late and then you have to go straight into work. Which you don't have to go straight into work. That's an excuse. Yeah. But
yeah. Haley and I wake up at different times every day as well. Like, I would love if we were just on the same exact routine.
So that's,
I feel like we can manage that.
That's what I wanted to say, because we're going to talk about like couple stuff. Is that something you really want?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of good things that come from just being on the same schedule. I think it's okay to have different routines on that schedule, but just waking up at the same time and going to sleep at the same time, just because otherwise you're just sort of living a different life. Like, do you feel like, how long are you awake after I fall asleep normally?
I usually try to go to bed when you go to bed.
Okay. But we just wake up at different times. Because I like that you can go to Starbucks and, you know, enjoy yourself and like have that alone time. I think that's really important. But just the idea of starting off together, you know, starting the day off on the right foot in unison.
I just have to say, the bar is really high because Ryan wakes up at like 5:30 a.m. Yeah. to go to CrossFit. So whenever I go to bed even at like 10 p.m. it's a rough journey to be waking up at 5:30 a.m.
It's funny that you guys are talking about this, because we've talked about this recently multiple times, because I've been wanting to go to bed super early, and Devin doesn't stay up late by any means, but you have more, like, it takes you a lot longer to fall asleep. Yeah. I fall asleep in 2 seconds. Like, I feel like you and Devin are similar. Oh, like,
that's my dream. If I could have a superpower, I would try and fall asleep early.
I fall asleep so fast, and so even last night, like, I was like, babe, I want to get in bed at like 8 o'clock and like read and do whatever, and you watched like some YouTube in bed, and like I ended up just falling asleep so fast, and it makes me sad sometimes when we don't go to bed at the same time, like not physically fall asleep. So I was really happy you were in the bed with me, but sometimes he'll stay up and like watch Game of Thrones and I kind of chill in our room, and I really like falling asleep at the same time. So that's my wish.
That's my wish.
It's just nice to like be on the exact same schedule, which is so ridiculous of me to ask like another human to be like the same, but I just love falling asleep with him.
Have you guys tried to evaluate Haley and Devin? Like, what do you think it is that prevents you from falling asleep and what helps? Because recently, I mean, I've known this for like a year or two, but if I put earplugs in, it doesn't even matter if like, it's not that Haley's loud or like anything's loud, but I don't know what it is about putting earplugs in. I fall asleep probably like 80% faster. And so I feel like just trying to find systems or things like that, if you really do want to fall asleep and you're really trying to practice that, is really helpful.
I think just like getting to bed earlier and just like getting away from technology really helps me. Because back in the day when I would like put my phone across the room and like plug in my laptop and go to bed like 30 minutes before I actually wanted to get to sleep, like I would fall asleep much better when I actually like laid down and got to bed. But lately I've been like watching YouTube or watching TV and then try to go to bed, and it like is just so much harder.
I've never had a schedule where, other than school, which was so hard for me, that was rough having to wake up for school, but I just always get really inspired late at night. Yeah. And that's the issue, which it's a horrible cycle too, because if you wake up late, then you start getting your energy later in the day. Whereas you had already been up at 5:30 a.m. You kind of get tired at like 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Whereas like I'm just starting to get my energy at 2 p.m. So it's hard to just break the cycle, which is what you have to do. Because I was going to 5:30 a.m. CrossFit for like, it felt like 3 weeks in a row, which was like the best my sleep schedule has ever been. But I'm also the 7 on the Enneagram, where their biggest thing that they want is freedom. And to me, a sleep schedule that's regimented feels so...
It like restricts you.
And yeah, like it feels restrictive. And like, oh, but what if we want to spontaneously watch a movie tonight? Or what if I want to watch all these YouTube videos about interior design? Like, it just feels like, I'm just restricted by these rules.
That's funny. My favorite, one of my favorite people is Jocko Willink. And he wrote this book called Discipline Equals Freedom. And I just want to throw that thought out there, because a lot of people see waking up early or sort of just like practicing discipline as not being free. But in reality, like if you are left susceptible to nature and like whatever life throws at you and you're not prepared and you don't control it, it's actually a lot less free in the end. That's just my thoughts. Sorry to be dramatic.
Wait, how does it equal freedom? I want to know.
Waking up early, essentially, like if you control your life, it's the idea that you're in charge.
Can I offer a rebuttal?
Yes.
So I don't remember which book this was in, but it was talking about how people, you know how people are like, oh, I'm a morning, what's it called?
Person.
Morning person. Or like a night owl. Morning bird, night owl.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people see night owl as an excuse, but there were studies that some people really do perform better on a different sleep schedule. Like 10 a.m. and then going to bed at midnight, some people really thrive off of that. And I just feel like I'm naturally one of those people, because I get so much inspiration. I used to get all my video ideas at 11 p.m. at night.
Yeah. That is crazy.
I would wake up literally at like 11 a.m. and then get so much work done.
Yeah.
And I just feel like when I wake up at 5:30 a.m., I come back from CrossFit, I take a nap, which can turn into like an hour and a half, and then I'm kind of sluggish throughout the day. It just doesn't feel great to me, but...
Can I make a comment? We just talked about this morning, because I believe, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, Albert Einstein, I think it was him, he had the weirdest sleep schedule. Have you guys heard about him? He slept in cycles, and I might be wrong on the person, but I'm pretty sure it was him. And he would like fall asleep early, then wake up at like 1 a.m. and work, and then go back to bed. Like, he had a really weird science to his sleep. And so I went to bed at like 8:45 last night after I read, and I woke up at 1 a.m. Guys, I checked my phone. I was like, oh, it's probably like 5 or 6. So I'll just wake up. It was 1 in the morning. Oh, and I was like, I'm already like feel so good and rested, which was so weird.
Wow. Have you guys heard of the idea that you get most of your creative thoughts right before you fall asleep? Like, I heard that people like Albert Einstein, like Nikola Tesla, all these like crazy smart scientists, they would like intentionally lie down in a really comfortable chair and then have their keys in their hand. And then they'd have like a metal tray right here. So as they like drift off and go to sleep and drift off and go to sleep, like their mind is working at its highest potential. And so right before they fall asleep, or as they actually fall asleep, they drop their keys onto the tin metal can. And then they wake up and they're like, repeat the process, because they have this like crazy idea.
That's cool.
I heard that like also if you're like studying for something, like if you study right before you go to sleep, like you retain it too. So that's interesting.
Our brains are just ready to go at night. But it's like, how do you stop that? So let's say for you, because you're creative at night, like should you just foster that and like get going? Or should you just get in the habit of writing it down and being content with, I'm going to do this in the morning, you know?
I wake up, okay, anytime I wake up early, I have no inspiration and I just feel like I am focused on trying to stay awake, that my mind has no room to do anything else.
I feel like, I mean, I agree with that. Like every single morning I wake up, I'm like, dude, I can't do this, I'm going back to bed. But then I try to convince myself to just go, because every single time I go,
move your head, just like look at the microphone.
I'm looking at this chair. Every single time I go to CrossFit, I exercise, I either have a good workout or I don't. But I get back home and I'm just so excited about my morning routine of like making coffee, going on the computer to check my emails. And like, I don't want to take a nap because there's just so many exciting things that I'm ready for.
Okay, that's the thing. You do emails in the morning. I don't really have emails to check. And so I feel like for me, I don't have any desk work, which I feel like most people in the morning, they do something that's sort of sedentary that it's slowly waking them up. Whereas I have to go straight into like filming a vlog or filming a brand deal. It's like, I can't do that.
Which I wouldn't want to do in the morning, personally. Like, I like also, we do emails in the morning. Mm. We kind of just talk about the day, like, what the priorities are. We have our coffee. It's, like, desk vibes, you know? Yeah. And then we jump into, like, more creative stuff where we go grab an afternoon coffee, take pictures. So, I get that. So, that does make it a little bit harder. I could see that. But I think just having a routine is vital for me. Like, and another thing is I was so tired yesterday from CrossFit and I wanted to nap. Didn't I look like I was literally just going to...
We were both like on the verge of just falling asleep on the couch. Just like in the middle of the day.
But I don't let myself fall asleep. Like, that's the biggest thing that maybe would help you. Like, I seriously will not let myself nap. It will not happen. I just go to bed at like 8.
That's another thing I wanted to say is I feel like having a consistent workout routine helps you fall asleep so much faster because your body is literally working to repair itself and you're fatigued from that. And so I feel like that's something that is really helpful. Like, if my body is sore, I just feel like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go to bed. Why did we talk about this? Why were we...
Well, that's our method for podcasting is we just do highs and lows and we just inevitably go into something. So,
but I feel like that was still on topic, low-key, because it's just showing you more about us as couples and like how we're different. So honestly, it fits the vibe. But how should we roll into like discussing how we're different and everything? What are you thinking?
Okay, I feel like an example is the best way to explain this because in our premarital counseling, I think I said this on the last podcast, but they give you examples of couples and how they are both experiencing the same exact thing and both of their interpretations and how they see it are so different. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's our example. So our example, this was something we struggled with very early on in the relationship, which was PDA versus social anxiety. So in public, Ryan doesn't fear anything. Whereas when I'm in public, I'm constantly thinking about other people, if they're looking at me. I hate if people look at me in public. Like, that's why I'm scared to wear outfits in public because people will look at you harder. And so he would be, you know, hugging me or just being cutesy and romantic.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just pull away super harshly because to me, I'm like, that is going to draw attention. And so that's my point of view. Now you can tell your point of view.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I don't experience social anxiety. And whenever Haley and I first started dating, she's my first girlfriend and I have so much love and affection. And I just like, since I don't experience that, like going out in public is just another time where we're together. And so if I go to reach for her hand and she like jerks it away, I'm like, oh. What's going on?
Wait, talk about how that, from your point of view, that's rejection.
Right, yeah. So I feel like one thing that is like a trigger for me is rejection. And so if Haley does this, it doesn't matter what environment we're in. Like if you just jerk your hand away from me or if I like go to hug you and you push me away, it's like literally the most hurtful, deteriorating thing I could possibly experience coming from the person I love. And so that was just, that's always been a really tough thing for me with Haley. And I mean, it's not like this was very prevalent early on before we actually had communication skills.
I don't notice this with you guys now.
We've definitely moved past this, but okay. You're
grabbing for my hand at Pier One Imports. I'm like, Haley, chill out.
Haley.
So the big kicker here is that to me, I was just pulling away because PDA in public made me uncomfortable and Ryan was perceiving that as rejection, so it was hurting his feelings so bad. And I was like, wait, whoa, why are you upset? I was just trying to not, you know, have people look at us. And so that's just an example of how I mean, we say that like I'm the logical one and Ryan's the emotional one, but this scenario doesn't really apply to that, I feel like, because it doesn't mean I'm more if anything, I'm irrational for thinking that in public. But
I was gonna say that, I was gonna bring it up, but I didn't know if it was insensitive to say that. It's interesting how like you're always logical, but in this particular situation, it's like the opposite. And it feels like that's why it was so confusing for me, because that it's like not your personality trait to be, you know, emotional in a situation like that. So it was something I had to navigate and learn about. But Yeah, I had something really smart to say, and I just can't remember what it was. I just know.
I think that's interesting, though, because I'm kind of the same way where, like, I'm always paying attention to, like, the other people around us mm-hmm. and, like, what they're thinking. Like, I feel like Lily will always, like, say something out loud, and I'm like, quiet down. Yeah. I'm like, shh. Like,
we've been arguing a little bit about that recently. I will, like, I'm an open book with just, like, everything. And even in public, I'm like, oh, whatever. And it's just funny because you and him are kind of like that. And mm-hmm, yeah. social, like, situations, you're definitely more reserved. I wouldn't say I'm, like, a huge PDA person, though. Like, mm-hmm. that's not, I get kind of weird about that, too. I've always been like that. So I don't really know if that really goes for our relationship with physical. But for me, like, talking, like, I'm so social and, like, well, just kind of tell people anything, and that's, you're not like that.
No. Yeah, there's definitely been some times where Ryan is talking and I'm like, oh, you're being a little loud. Like, especially on airplanes, I'd be like, you're the only one talking right now. And I'd be freaking out about that. And it's just, it's the difference of I'm focused on other people and you're focused on, you're in your own world and you don't care what other people think, which is great, but not when I'm like freaking out in the corner.
So, sorry, Devin and Haley, do you guys think that, like, how do you perceive this social anxiety in your life? Like, do you see it as something that you have to work on, or is it something that you've kind of accepted, like, oh, this is who I am and that's okay?
I would argue it's not social anxiety. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is the anxiety of, like, people. I feel like it's, like, a respect thing in my mind. Like, being super PDA in public is almost disrespectful to me because I'm like, okay, you can do that in private. And being loud in public and kind of disturbing people to me is like disrespect. Not saying that you're loud and disrespectful, but if we're on an airplane and I can tell that Ryan's talking way louder than anyone else, I'm like, oh, like, you should, you know, take it down a notch so that these people are not disturbed.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Okay. Like, I just don't want to, like, seem like I'm interrupting anybody else's business or, like, getting in anyone's way or anything.
I want to bring you back to when we were in Korea, okay. and no one understood our language and no one could judge us. We were just, like, being crazy and loud. So I don't think it's a matter of disrespect. At least in that situation, that's what it felt like. I think it's the idea that these strangers will think differently of you, and mm-hmm. it's the idea that maybe we'll come off as brats. And, oh, we're not brats. So, like, we don't even want to give people the idea that we are a certain way. And so I think it's just, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's, I feel like disrespect is an interesting perspective considering, like, the Korea trip.
I feel like Devin and I, you tell me if you agree with this because I'm talking for you. But when I go out in public, I want to be a fly on the wall that no one sees. I get in and I get out. I want to have as little social interaction as possible. I want as little people to look at me. I don't want to be, you know, like, I want to walk into Target. My dream is to go in public. No one ever looks at me, barely any talking, and I get out. You know what I mean? That? Yeah, that's what my dream is. Cause, wow. And so,
that's my dream.
Yeah, so PDA has people look at you, being louder. It just, you become more of the center of attention. And I think that's the thing I don't like, is being center of attention.
Do you remember when we first met at VidCon and we went to the Apple store? Mm-hmm. We were being goofballs.
See, but everyone was so involved in their own thing that, and everyone was being loud, so we blended right in. Okay. It's just like the blending in for me that I need.
Okay. Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I'm very independent, so I feel like I could just go in somewhere and get out without having any interaction with anybody. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like you like to socialize and, like...
No. I'm a big socializer, and I just thought of something while we were sitting here. So Devin, when we met, we would, like, go to Chick-fil-A or something, and he wanted to be out as soon as we're done eating. And that's you. That is literally yes. you. I remember you took me to Flower Child when you, like, got me from the airport or something. Literally the second we're done eating, up out the door, like, throwing everything away. And that is not me at all. And, like, I don't care. It's not a big deal. But Devin also, I think you're a lot better about it now.
Yeah.
But I think you just wanted to rush out of, like, those situations. And I don't think you necessarily noticed it or thought, like, I don't really think you have social mm-hmm. anxiety or anything. But you definitely are like, okay, like, we're done, let's go. And I'm more like, oh, let's sit, let's chat, like, let's soak up this time.
It's not even that I'm like, I don't want to be in public or anything. It's just like, I feel like I get very bored easily. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're done eating, like, that's what we came here to do. So, like, why are we still here? Yeah. Like, let's go do something or let's go home. Like,
but this is where we can roll into some emotional stuff, because I'm the emotional one in the relationship. Not to say Devin doesn't have emotions, he does. But I take that as, like, whoa, why are you, like, rushing out of here with me? Like, whoa, you don't want to sit and chat about our meal and, like, talk about our dreams? I'm like, that is so bad. And we went on, like, what is it called? Why am I forgetting? Our big trip with school. What is that called? We went out of the country. We went to Austria.
Austria.
Yes. But we went there and we learned about, like, in business, body language and how people's feet are, like, towards the door. They're over the conversation. Have you guys heard that stuff?
My feet are like,
and, like,
bending backwards.
And they're like, but I've, like, heard that stuff, and I take people wanting to leave, you know, or, like, hang up super fast as, like, oh, you don't care, like, you don't want to talk to me, blah, blah, blah. So that's why I get offended in those situations. Not to say you guys have those problems, and we don't really anymore. But when we met, I did kind of mistake that as, like, oh, he doesn't want to talk with me right now. So, yeah, that can be, like, a little bit of one for us. Just, like, every, basically anything that kind of goes on, I take very emotionally, and I kind of get, this is a bad quality, I get offended easily. Like, I don't know if you experienced that, Ryan, being more emotional, but I feel like Devin's not trying to hurt me, but I'm so sensitive that, like, I notice everything and I take it as, like, kind of a, I don't know, like, I get offended and sad.
I'm pretty sensitive.
I feel like I feel like I do kind of get offended easily, though. Like, I'm not, see, I'm stone cold in the sense that, like, whenever I was packing up my apartment and leaving, my friend was like, oh, aren't you just so sad? Like, you know, soaking it up, your first apartment. I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm leaving. I'm going to the house. Like, I don't process those emotions. And even when we packed up from our first house, I see so many posts on social media, like, my first house, I'll miss you, like, 17 years. And I'm up and gone. Like, I don't relish in emotions. And that's because I push down emotions. It's not because I'm actually stone cold, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if that's a product of you being raised by, like, your mom. Like, she is very just stone cold. And I wonder, like, for me, I feel like a lot of personality traits that I kind of grew up with, I've really challenged myself. Like, patience. I feel like my grandma was super, super patient, and I wanted to emulate that so bad. But, like, overall, I wasn't a very patient person. Like, do you think that you, like, situations like that, you see yourself being stone cold and not processing emotion, and you're like, oh, I should probably try to appreciate this? Or are you like just happy and more efficient being quote unquote stone cold?
To me, happiness is not having bad emotion, which is not true. Like, you need to process things. But for me, if I can just kind of shut it down and then go to the next thing, that makes me happier than, like, thinking about all the memories and, like, thinking about the past. I'm just such a future focused person that I'm like, okay, it's done now. Let's go to the next thing. What is the next thing? And I'm thinking about that more so than all the good memories we had and all that stuff. I just don't relinquish those moments.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. We're like, I'm always on to the next thing. Like, with every argument that we've had, I feel like I'm always over it sooner than she is. We're like, I'm like, okay, we're like, how can we fix it now? Or, like, something like that.
I hold on to absolutely everything. So it's just like hearing you say that, I'm like, oh, I'm jealous, which I think there's good things and bad things to all of it, though, because I feel like my life is like a little music video. And I don't know, like, I think about the past and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm so emotional with things. Like, I see other people sad and I'm just like sobbing. Like, I just feel deeply. And I don't know, like, I don't know if that's always a good thing, because especially when we argue, I am, like, so obsessed with Devin. Are you sure, like, we're good? Or let's talk about this again. And he's like, babe, we're over it. He's like, we're going to be together forever. This is all good. We're moving on. And I have a really hard time, like, moving forward with that stuff. Or if I think someone's mad at me, like, I think about it 24/7. Or we've talked about this before with even texting. Like, when someone, I don't know if it's just, like, periods or okay, which is Haley a lot of the time. Like, okay,
welcome,
yep,
Haley.
Sure. But, and, like, I know now that that's not how it is, but when we would, like, first text, I would be like, oh, was something wrong today? Like, not that I think you're mad at me, but I'm like, is she okay today? Like, is something going on in her life? So it's just funny when people don't react, or in an argument, the fact that you don't want to talk about it forever, when people aren't like that, sometimes I'm like, why? Like, how? Like, why are you not hung up, you know?
I feel like that's the hard part about this is neither side is right. Like, right. You being emotional and being super empathetic towards people is good. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, it's bad because you hang on to arguments. But it's also better that you can empathize with people, because that's, like, one of the first things I noticed about you. I remember I picked you up from your apartment and you're like, oh, I'm just so sad because Devin, I'm taking the car and, like, maybe he wants to go get snacks later. Like, I don't know. And I was just shocked because I honestly am kind of just selfish and thinking about myself. And I was like, wow, I would have never had a thought like that. And sometimes it's hard for me to empathize with you because I'm like, where is that emotion even from? Like, my heart and brain would never think like that. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say, I actually really like listening to all of you guys talk about this. It makes me realize how good it is that we are the way that we are. Because if you think of our relationships as a single entity and sort of like we're co-pilots on this plane in life, then it's actually really good that we can make decisions that move us forward in both directions. One is emotional and one's logical, and overall it gets us to where we need to go.
I feel like the biggest thing, like, to take from this is that we always have to, like, compromise and, like, understand where the other person is coming from and meet in the middle almost. Like, she has to understand where I'm coming from. And I've noticed for me, like, I have to show, like, my emotions more in arguments and, like, my tone when I'm, like, saying things. And, like, I feel like I've grown in that way, though, where I'm trying to, like, show you that I care more in the way that, like, you'll understand.
And it all comes down to love languages, folks, mm-hmm. because it's so funny how we're all so different. Like, I'm words of affirmations, 100%. Like, mm-hmm. not to say, like, I have other little ones that I care about, but, like, that is, and, like, all of them, they all matter. But I'm definitely a words person. And so, like, I think you've learned that. And I don't know how, like, what you guys' is, like, love language is, but Devin, you've done a great job, I feel like, with being better about it and just, like, telling me you love me more and just, I don't know. And I have to be better because you are a bit more physical than I thought. Like, sounds kind of strange, but, like, on the couch, like, he's cuddling up with me and I'm like, whoa, it's different. Yeah. So I have to, like, work on that because I'm actually not that, like, physical. We've talked about this before. Like, I'm just like, I know I love you and that's not how I show it. Like, I'd rather tell you.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you had a thought. So I'm, like, trying to decide.
Wait, what's Devin's love language?
I don't know my love language. What do you think it is?
I don't know.
How does he show love? That probably means that's what it is.
I think it's, I forget the real names for all of them, but, like, you'll be like, oh, let me take you to get a sundae. Oh, and, like, take me.
Acts of service.
I think acts of service. But I don't, that's what you do for me, though, to show me your love. So I don't know necessarily what you want for me. I think you are a little bit more physical. And then it's hard to say. Devin is so, like, you're just so chill. Like, I don't know. It's hard. Like, I feel like I'm super high maintenance, which makes me feel bad.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not, like, expecting anything from you necessarily. Yeah.
What you just said is really interesting because Ryan, especially towards the beginning of a relationship, he felt high maintenance because when you're emotional and when someone else doesn't, or when someone pushes down those emotions, I'm probably feeling the same way. I just don't know it because I'm pushing it down. And you actually know how to express your emotions. But when you're the only one expressing them, you can feel like a burden or, you know, why do I care so much and you don't care? It makes you feel weird or broken or something. But I was going to say, my love language is also acts of service and Ryan's is physical touch. And I feel like I've gotten better at physical touch, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's, like I said, she's literally like all over me at Pier 1 Imports. It's no big deal, but yeah, I think you've been really good. And I think that what's beautiful about that, that I really appreciate, is the fact that in a situation like being at Pier 1 Imports, you have a pre-existing fear about, you know, just like being in society and like showcasing PDA. I make you sound like a little tiny ant or something. Like, I'm so scared. But yeah, I think it's really nice because you've literally had to sacrifice your own personal emotions for just like allowing me to feel loved. Mm-hmm. And like, that's just so special to me. And it's really inspiring. I want to help, you know, whatever I can to make you feel the same way, mm-hmm. even if it means sacrificing and compromising.
I feel like mine is probably quality time and acts of service, because I just want, if I want to go to Target, I don't need Ryan to go, but I just want him to like sit in the car with me and be there and then be talking to me. But I also feel like what we were talking about earlier with meeting in the middle and compromise, I do think we are kind of two people on the opposite sides of the spectrum, being stone cold and then being really emotional. Both parties do need to meet in the middle, and it'll probably make us better, well-rounded people, because it's not good to be absolutely no emotions and then to be super emotional all the time.
Yeah.
So I feel like we balance each other.
I have a little thought or like question for you guys. So I've noticed with Devin, and I know you'll say this too, I speak my emotions way faster. I'm really comfortable like telling him what's going on for me or if I'm upset about something. But Devin won't. But let's say things are snowballing, right? And like little things I'm doing might be kind of hurting his feelings or whatever. And I'm not really picking up on it because he's not telling me, right? So I don't know what to fix. And then Devin will randomly explode. Where, not in a bad way, because Devin has never once yelled. You're like the most chill person. But like, so you just, you know, you'll get really upset, like cry, like spill all of your emotions. And then I feel bombarded because I'm like, holy cow, like you've been feeling this way, not telling me why. Because like, to me, when you love someone, telling them those things is like growing together, right? Like you're making steps to being stronger together. So like when you're not telling me that stuff, it makes me sad. I'm like, no, because I share everything with him that he can work on. And then I feel like you just hit me with tons of things.
Yeah, it's just, it's so interesting because I feel like I just like, I'll always put my emotions to the side or just like put myself like to the side, like I'm not first in any situation, so I like want to make you feel good about the situation, but then I'll notice later like how that affected me, you know. And I'm like, never. I'm sorry, I keep rotating my head. I just need to hold the mic.
Thank you.
But yeah, I feel like I'm just never like putting myself first in a situation, so then like later on I'll just like think about all these things that build up and I have to communicate those to you instead of like right away addressing the situation.
I am the exact same way as Devin, especially at the beginning of a relationship. I feel like I've definitely learned because it does get tiring to like not talk about. I wouldn't talk about something that was bothering me until it had been bothering me for over 3 months at least.
That is Devin. He would bring up stuff from he would bring up stuff from like months ago. And I was like, this isn't fair. Yeah. Like, which is wrong, because like that's how you guys work, you know?
It isn't fair. I feel like it is something that I had to learn to do, because it's honestly kind of, I feel like, dangerous for a relationship to do that. So I feel like I don't do that anymore. But the issue with it is I was mistaking compromising for a relationship with actually just ignoring my feelings that were getting hurt, to the point where the longer that you let that go on, it becomes resentment. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have to choose whenever, you know, if I'm going to hold your hand at Pier 1 Imports, and to me, that's me compromising my beliefs or my fears, but that won't make me resent you. Mm-hmm. I feel like you have to be careful of deciphering, okay, am I going to make this compromise and it's going to be a good thing for the both of us, or am I making this compromise and then also resenting you and then not telling you that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think that one thing that's actually really helped us, though, at marriage counseling, our counselor was like, at the end of every day, just ask like, hey, is there anything that like bothered you today? Is there anything that you struggled with today? And that way, like, if you make a mistake or something, like we even had this part in premarital counseling where it was like, all right, this is like the tell all. Like, if you haven't told your spouse about something that you really wanted to tell them about, and it's probably going to be bad, this is the moment you tell them. And it's crazy that you could go your whole relationship. Had we not had that prompt and had we not had that opportunity, we probably, like, who knows how long we would have gone without telling the other person this one thing. It's crazy. We both had one thing. And so the idea that, like, all right, every night let's talk about something. Confess. Like, if something went very awry, or like you made a mistake and the other person doesn't know about it, or you're just feeling a certain way, let them know now, because like 2 years from now, you're not going to have the opportunity, and it's not going to feel like a natural opportunity. So,
yeah, I don't know about like Haley, but like I feel like we're good at like putting emotions to the side in this situation, but a part of us almost like holds on to it long term. Like, it's weird. Like, I feel like I'm good at like making Lily happy in the situation, just like putting my feelings to the side, But then like later on the road, if it happens again, then I'm like thinking it's always happening. I don't know.
I think you are probably though one of the most selfless people I've ever met. And I don't think you realize it though, because Devin, he seriously won't say his feelings because he doesn't want to hurt me like at all. Like that's it. Like you really, it's honestly amazing. So thank you. And I love you so much. But it's like, he really won't speak things because he doesn't want to hurt me and get me overthinking and upset and like holding on to something. Because I think, you know, that not to say I blow up everything, but because I'm so emotional, like we'll just keep talking about it. And I feel like you're like, oh, it's fine. Like you just push your feelings down and you almost make them seem like your feelings matter. And I want you to know that, it makes our relationship stronger when we're working together. But that is one thing, is you'll just like sacrifice your own feelings for mine, which is so kind. But it's like at the end of the day, one thing I need to realize is I can be selfish a little bit. And it's crazy because hearing you guys talk about Pier 1 imports and like being hurt, being affectionate, hearing that makes me want to do so much better for him, because you are like my world. And I know you guys feel that way for each other. Like you are the most important thing to me, like on this earth, right? And so it's like, why don't I act like that more? Like, why am I not sacrificing more? Or why am I not being like you sometimes and being like, Lily, stop. Like, his feelings matter so much more. Because that's what it is to me. Like, yes, both of yours matter. But it's like, why shouldn't you care way more about Ryan's almost and like those moments? And like, I need to remind myself. So I'm like, this is like such a good conversation. I want to cry. Because it's like, wow. Like, I need to be showing that so much more to you.
I feel like that's one of the biggest lessons I've been learning. Is I used to kind of like Devin, just, I don't think you do this, but I do this, where I would be kind of like tallying, oh, like I'm gonna sacrifice my work to go and help you with your video, but like there's one thing I did for you and like let's see what he's gonna do for me, which is so unhealthy. And so now I'm still learning, but I feel like my mental shift has been, how can I serve you? And like, you know, me being more physical affection is your love language, so consciously trying to like give you hugs throughout the day or showing you in a way that you feel love. And whenever you put yourself in like, how can I serve the other person, and then they feel loved, they want to show you that love back. So it's kind of funny how we are like, oh, what can you do for me? And then if both parties are thinking that, then no one there, everyone's just trying to serve each other from an empty cup instead of just pouring into them so that they can pour back into you, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
I feel like that kind of, we talked about this in the Q&A we did with you guys and Trey family, but like the honeymoon phase people talk about, I feel like you can kind of stay if you want to stay in it. Like we kind of talked about our opinions on that, but I feel like if you're both really trying to serve each other and like waking up each day like, okay, how can I love this person better? And they're also doing that for you. I feel like you just get in this like euphoric, like happy little state. Like I know, for example, I don't know if I've talked about this much, but Dev and I have broken up in the past, like in high school, like so very long time ago. But, you know, he would kind of hit me with all these feelings that you weren't telling me about. And then I felt like attacked and we'd break up. But when you get back together, it's like this amazing thing because you have each other again and you want to make that person feel loved. You want to work on those things that upset them. And it's like, I almost wish I had that feeling every day. Not that I'm losing you, but like, it just really puts into perspective when you've lost them, like, oh my gosh. But now that we're married, I know I have you forever. So I feel like it, this is so bad to say out loud, but I'm almost like, oh, I have him. Like, so yeah. If I'm stressed this week in work, it's okay. Like, he's going to be here and he is going to be here, but it doesn't mean I stop being loving towards you, you know, and not that I've not been, but like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's very easy to just get in your routines and like not think about reinforcing like the love between you guys and everything. Yeah
like taking each other for granted, because I feel like I had a stage where I took Ryan for granted and I was like, oh, he's mine, so let's just, you know, be mean to each other. Not that I was like,
no, I horrible get this, to you though. But yeah. No, I can get a tone with him and like little things and
yeah
like both of us, like I've had to work on my tone for sure,
because when you work together in your home, like little things you say, you're not trying to make it sound like nitpicky, but sometimes it does sound like that. Like we've just had to adjust with like living together. It's been different, but I mean, we've been amazing. It just, you really have to make sure just being loving to that other person, like putting your own feelings aside. Cause like, think about it. If you guys didn't have each other, like your life would not be the same. And I feel like I need to start thinking about that more. Like if Devin, you know, randomly walked up and left, like, I would be wrecked. And I think it would put it into perspective how much I should have been doing to show him more love. And I just think I need to think about that more. I know that's a sad thought, so maybe not. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, just really each day think about that. Because when it comes down to it, our relationship is so important. Our relationship with God is so important. And it's, like, those two things we need to be fostering each day. Sorry, I'm, like, tapping his knee. If you guys are watching this, I'm so, like, I talk with my hands so much. But I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the beauty in all of this, and something, the biggest takeaway I've gotten from our little marriage counseling book, is that our differences are just an opportunity to show the gospel to each other and show God's love. It's like teaching us how to be more like Jesus, because the more I have to forgive you and put you first and compromise what I want, and then you realize the amount of times that God has forgiven you for, like, all the mistakes you've made endlessly, like, there is no end point to where he won't forgive you. It really puts into perspective, like, how great God's love is and how far we are from perfect. And I don't know, I just think it's great to find the beauty in our differences instead of being like, oh, he's so different, like, he doesn't understand and all these things. It's more just so an opportunity to become more like Jesus.
Yeah, I think that there's been so many times, it's so cliche, but just asking yourself, what would Jesus do in a situation, no matter what you believe, like, Jesus is just perfect and patient, forgiving, no matter what. Like, the idea that Jesus can forgive literally the biggest debt ever. Like, there's no greater debt than sin. And the idea that we just have, like, these small differences and we can't forgive the other person for, like, sleeping in or, like, just, like, not, I don't know. Like, there's so many minuscule things that just don't matter. And it's really hurtful if you don't forgive the other person, because you're just building resentment. You're not building a life together. Like, what is the goal if you're not willing to forgive for small things and move forward?
That's it, man. I love that we talked about that. I feel like this was great.
I know.
I feel like it's, like, happy, and I hope you guys, like, got to know us better. And if you're in a relationship, maybe it made you feel better about certain feelings, or when you're gonna have a relationship, just, like, kind of things to realize and, like, learn from us in a way. Because I feel like we both have just learned so much about each other and, like, how to navigate this in the most healthy way. And we're nowhere near perfect. And that's something that I find so crazy. Like, you guys are getting married, you know, we're married. We have our whole lives to, like, continue working through different things that come up. And so I feel like it's so important just to learn how to navigate things now, because there will probably be bigger problems that come up. I mean, I hope not, but it's just life, you know, like, jobs change, or I don't know, like, things. So I just feel like it's important to learn early on, just, like, the other person, everything about them. So I like that we all have. I think it's special.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Should we read a review?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
We're at 6,000 reviews, I believe.
I saw.
Only 4,000 more to go. We have a goal of 10,000 by September 21st. So
I'll go leave a review.
Thank you.
I feel like most people, because I used to listen to podcasts where they would say, go leave a review, and I had no idea what they were talking about or where to do that. And they'd say, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and it's the app on your phone. If you probably might have even deleted it, but podcast app comes on your phone. It's this little purple icon. And if you click on our show and then scroll all the way to the bottom, that's where it says leave a review, and you don't even have to sign in or anything annoying like that. So that's my little tutorial on how to leave a review if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, so I just found one by Gabs1225. Thanks, girl. She said, love, 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 5 stars. And she said, I literally love you guys. I find it so relaxing just to listen to your voices, conversations while doing random things or school. It feels like you guys are right there next to me. Such good vibes, smiley face. God bless you both, heart.
Oh, that's you. So nice.
It's funny to think of our voices being relaxing, because we just talked about that.
Imagine my voice being relaxing. Thank but thank you. You very much.
Yeah, thanks, girl.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll leave all the stuff in the description box if you want to follow us elsewhere, but we will see you guys next week.
Bye guys.